Hello and welcome into another episode of Locked on Wolves. Today on the show, ESPN's future power rankings, where the Timberwolves rank, and why, I guess the easiest way to say this is there's unrelenting disrespect when it comes to the Timberwolves. I'll tell you why the future power rankings are wrong at ESPN. Some teams they definitely should be ranked ahead of. We'll also preview Wolves-Wizards for Tuesday night, a big game for the Wolves with just three games left in the regular season, and a quick spin around the other league power rankings. It's all coming on the show. Welcome in. You are Locked on Wolves.
You are Locked on Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked on Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked on Wolves podcast, part of the Locked on Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Beacon. I'm the host of Locked on Wolves. I'm also the editor of Dunking with Wolves, the Timberwolves site on the Fansided Network. Today's episode is brought to you by Prize Picks. Check out our Prize Picks. Check out prizepicks.com and use promo code NBA or go to your app store and download the app today. Prize Picks is daily fantasy made easy. Happy Tuesday, everybody. Happy Timberwolves game day. The Wolves, of course, did not play Monday due to the NCAA National Championship game. Hopefully you enjoyed Kansas's win over North Carolina, or maybe you didn't want them to win, but it was just good basketball. And it really was. It was a fun game. Fun finish as well. So today on the show, plenty to talk about. We'll get to all that here in just a second. First of all, though, a big thank you to those of you that do make Locked on Wolves your first listen each and every day. It's greatly appreciated. Of course, Locked on Wolves is free and available everywhere. That includes YouTube, as well as all of your favorite audio platforms, including Apple, Google, Spotify, Odyssey. You can find this podcast anywhere you listen to podcasts. You can also follow on Twitter at Locked on T-Wolves and also at BBeacon with two B's, two E's, C-K. Quickly off the top, some fun stuff coming up later on this week. Some news, including some upcoming post-game live postcast, 10-12 minute live shows we're going to start doing. Going to have some guests on that show. Look forward to that as we now head into the final three regular season games, very likely a play-in game, hopefully just one, not two, and then also hopefully the first round of the playoffs as well. So exciting couple of weeks here at Locked on Wolves and, of course, for Timberwolves Nation as a whole. All right. So today on the show, I want to talk about ESPN's future power rankings. I think that it is a flawed method. Not that there is a perfect method to rank teams into the future, but I just think that the exercise is crazy. I'll tell you why and why I think the Wolves ranking is kind of a pretty good microcosm of why the exercise is crazy. Then I want to talk about just general power rankings from around the league. And we'll close by looking at Wolves Wizards. We haven't seen the Wizards in, almost 4 months. 4 months? 3 months? Four months since December, since we've actually seen the Washington Wizards play the Wolves. So a little bit of a preview that I want to get to here to close the show later on. Okay, let's talk about ESPN future power rankings. So this exercise, if you're not familiar with it, it's pretty self-explanatory, but the methodology behind it, like, it's pretty obvious what it is, right? It's the definition by ESPN is the projection of on-court success expected for each team over the next three seasons. So the current one, 21-22, next year, and then also 23-24. There's analysts, Kevin Pelton, Bobby Marks, Andre Snellens, and Tim Bontemps, who rank each team, all 30 NBA teams, in five different categories, rank them relative to the rest of the league. They put together an average and therefore come up with an overall future power rating. So I'll tell you first where the Timberwolves are. I'll tell you where they were last time around and a year ago. And then I'll tell you why I don't actually hate where the Timberwolves are ranked, but in comparison to some other teams and also in comparison to where they were 6 and 12 months ago, I'll tell you why I don't like it. So the Timberwolves are ranked 15th. By the way, this is an ESPN Insider article, so you do need ESPN Plus, ESPN Insider to read it. So I'm not going to read too much, you know, from behind the paywall verbatim, but I have no problem with talking about the rankings. The Wolves here are ranked out of 30 NBA teams, number 15. Now, we'll get to regular power rankings here, like currently this season, ESPN, The Athletic, NBA.com, as we do pretty much weekly on the show here in a little bit. The Wolves are ranked higher than that in this season, right? So I guess just think about it this way. Most power rankings have the Wolves between 11 and 13, maybe 14 in the league. So to have them 15 in the future power rankings seems kind of nuts, because what are the Timberwolves? They're one of the league's youngest teams, youngest two or three teams, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, at least in terms of guys who actually play. They've only got one guy in his 30s in their rotation in Patrick Beverley. A team universally thought of as a young up-and-coming team to be ranked lower in the future power rankings than in the regular power rankings is crazy. The other reason why I think this is insane is because 6 months ago, the Timberwolves were ranked 25th. A year ago, so 12 months ago, they were ranked 29th, second to last in the entire league in future power rankings. How many players do you think are different on the roster in April 2022 than there were in April 2021? Three? I think the answer is three, right? I mean, like the roster. I'm not even saying the rotation. The roster. Patrick Beverley, Taurean Prince, Leandro Bolmaro. I think that's it. I mean, you could count the two-way guys, obviously, Nathan Knight, McKinley Wright. But everybody else is the same. It's the same coach. Obviously, we have much more information now on Chris Finch than we did last April. There's much more of a track record. The last time this was done was right when ownership changed or right after the Alex Rodriguez, Mark Lowry ownership change happened or not change. Well, yeah, change, I guess, when they bought into the team and began having having a voice. The Timberwolves have better draft assets than they did a year ago. And that's one of the five categories is future draft assets. Cause last year they didn't have any picks. They have all their picks plus a couple of extra second round picks this year. That's one of the categories that hasn't changed. So players hasn't changed. Obviously market, by the way, this is an, I'll talk about this in a second. The Timberwolves are ranked last in market. More on that in just a moment, a bit of a soapbox for me. And then draft, it should be better too. So I don't really understand what's going on here. This clearly is just a reaction to the Timberwolves playing much better than expected this year. But if this is truly future power rankings, then these future power rankings did a pretty awful job of predicting this season. If the Timberwolves were 29th 12 months ago and 25th 6 months ago, the start of the season. So why are we talking about this? Why are we paying attention to the future power rankings? If it failed to project the future of the Timberwolves with the same roster now as there was 12 months ago, with what, eight of the same 10 rotation players as they had a year ago, and they now have jumped 14 spots in the rankings, half the league they've leapt over by virtue of staying healthy and having better coaching, I guess. So the exercise is obviously flawed, and of course, I'm being a little bit over the top here because nobody's can actually predict the future. We know that. That's what this is. It's just like anything else. It's a projection. I just think the methodology is kind of messed up because it just doesn't make sense to have like, for instance, the Utah Jazz are at 13. They fall to the top 10 apparently for the first time in this ranking since 2014. I don't understand how they're two spots ahead of the Timberwolves. They have a worse cap situation by far. The market's ranked better, but it can't actually be much better. It's really just the prestige of the franchise, I guess, counts in that category. Their draft assets, they don't have draft assets. They don't have cap space. They're locked into the Gobert contract. And I guess management, they have an edge there. But to have them 13th and the Timberwolves 15th seems kind of crazy. Dallas at 12, I understand why they're ahead of the Wolves. Toronto, the recent championship helps them. So I'm not necessarily saying the Wolves should be considered top 10, but to have them below Utah, to have them a few spots below Dallas, they're a spot below Chicago. It's a little crazy. Quickly on the market thing, the Timberwolves continue to have the 30th ranked market. And I'm gonna pull the definition. I want to do this quick. The definition of the market ranking here. Appeal, and it's only 7.7% of the score. I should have said this off the top. The score is weighted. So 54% roughly is players, 15% management, 50% money, and then 7.7% market and 7.7% draft. The Timberwolves always are ranked 30th in market. The definition here is appeal to future acquisitions based on team quality, franchise reputation, city's desirability as a destination, market size, taxes, business and entertainment opportunities, arena quality, and fans. I don't know. Why is Sacramento 24th? Or I'm sorry, they're not 24th. That's the wrong category. Why is Sacramento 27th? Same question. With all due respect to our friends in Sacramento, to Matt George and Lockdown Kings, right? Why is Sacramento 27th? Why is Oklahoma City 28th? I mean, yeah, they went to the finals once a decade ago. But why are they 28th? Why are the Cavaliers 29th? I guess the LeBron championship is the only reason they're ranked ahead of the Timberwolves. You can't tell me that those cities are better than Minnesota. You can't tell me that the management is better, I guess, in Oklahoma City, but in Sacramento, it's not. Detroit, I guess, kind of the same thing. The Bad Boys nostalgia. Otherwise, why is it 25th? Why is Indiana 24th? Nostalgia. I the past history of the franchise. But to have Minnesota 30th just seems nuts to me. And obviously I'm biased when it comes to the market, right? I mean, but objectively, it's also what, the 15th biggest media market in the league. It's better than tons of, I mean, Orlando and Portland are 17. Those are both smaller cities than Minneapolis. I know that's only one of the factors, but also why is Orlando 17th? The Shaq years in the 90s and the brief Dwight Howard peak, like I guess it's in Florida. People like Florida, but it's still Orlando. It's not Miami. I don't know. I don't understand how this ranking went down exactly, but the Timberwolves at any rate are 30th in market, but they're 15th in overall future power ranking. I think it's a little low. I think the system is flawed here, or this ranking system, whatever, is flawed. And we'll see where they are in the fall. I mean, if the Timberwolves win a play-in game and are competitive in the first round, maybe push it to 7 games and then have a decent offseason and, you know, have a, however they draft this year, no drama in the offseason type of a thing. Wouldn't shock me to see them rise a couple of positions here, because it just seems kind of bonkers that they're still at 15th. But I think the bigger issue with the ranking system is that a team could jump 15 spots in a year without changing the roster, because that tells you that the ranking was not done very well in the first place. And that's where we're sitting right now. Okay, next I want to look at the traditional current power rankings based on where we sit right now on April 5th. For the current season. So we're going to do that next. Then we'll look at Wolves, Wizards, and a preview for Tuesday night's game. First of all, let's talk about our title sponsors of today's program. That is Prize Picks. All right, NBA fans, are you looking for a daily fantasy option for the NBA? If you are, you need to try the award-winning app Prize Picks. Prize Picks is daily fantasy made easy. I love it, and I know you will too. It's super easy to use. All you do is pick 2 to 5 players and over-under on their projections. You can win up to 10 times in any entry, and it's just you versus the projected numbers. No other DFS players you're playing head-to-head against. It's you and the numbers. Entries can be made in 60 seconds or less. It's that easy. PrizePicks is safe and offers fast withdrawals. Use the award-winning app on both the App Store and Google Play. They offer any prop you can think of, from points scored to rebounds, even steals. It also allows mixed sport entries, and this is the best part. I loved it during NFL season. I'm also a big baseball fan, and I can't wait. Baseball starts later this week. I can't wait to do this with MLB. You could, if you're a Twins fan, the Twins open up on Thursday this week. You could take Timberwolves play Thursday. You could take Carl Anthony Towns points over, and you could take Joe Ryan, the Twins opening day starter, runs under, whatever his projected earned runs are. You could take the under, his over on the strikeouts, Towns over on points scored, and you can win that way. It doesn't just offer NBA, obviously MLB. I mentioned college basketball just wrapped up. It's a ton of fun during football, soccer, MMA, whatever you're into. You can do a mixed sport entry with any two of those sports. For limited time now, PrizePicks has an exclusive no-brainer of an offer for all of our users. Users get $50 for free if a player in your first PrizePicks entry scores a single point, but you must use code NBA. That's right. This is an exclusive offer available to Locked On listeners only. Sign up today and use code NBA for $50 for free if a player in your first PrizePicks entry scores a single point. All right, let's also talk about our friends over at BetOnline. BetOnline.net is your number one source for all your betting needs and sports info. Find all the latest sports developments, including this week's Masters Championships odds, podcasts, and reviews for all the different leagues this season. Be sure to check out the Wolves odds for this week. The line for Tuesday, I forgot to check it out, but I always check the BetOnline.net right before or the morning of a Timberwolves game to see how it's shifted. With the Wolves getting a little bit healthier, Wolves Wizards at home, Wizards nothing to play for. This should be easily a double digit line. I would think Wolves maybe by 10.5, maybe by 11 would be my guess. Maybe I'll pull it up here in a second. At the end of this show, we'll look back and see if I got that one right. But BetOnline is your continued source for all your sporting wagering information, including live betting, esports, and scores. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends and action. BetOnline, where the game starts. All right, thanks again for making Locked On Wolves your first listen each and every day. For your next listen, you can check out the Locked On Now podcast. Nightly recaps of every NBA game with analysis from our local experts. It's free and available wherever you get podcasts. It's the best way to get caught up on the previous night's action if you are watching the Wolves or whatever else, if you just missed the action from the previous night. It's the best way to get caught up. It's far better than, say, perusing Twitter or just looking at box scores or watching the highlight shows. That's where you want to get caught up, is with Locked On experts at the Locked On Now podcast. Also, I pulled up the Wolves line from betonline.net. I'm impressed with my ability to guess this line. I said it would be 10.5 or 11. I guess I missed it, but only barely. It's 11.5. The Wolves are favored at betonline.net over the Wizards on Tuesday by 11.5. This is as of late Monday, so we'll see if that moves at all. during the day on Tuesday, injury report wise, we'll talk about this later. Jaden McDaniels is still out. Well, sorry, he's doubtful with the ankle injury. Malik Beasley's played in the last couple games, but he's listed as probable. And the Wizards, of course, obviously no Bradley Beal, plenty of injuries on their end, and not really anything to play for. So that line makes a ton of sense to me. Okay, let's look at power rankings here really briefly from around the league. ESPN has the Timberwolves at number 13. They previously were at 12. They dropped them by one after losing 4 of 7. But obviously, difficult schedule. They've kind of battled through this stretch that I've talked about. I talked about for weeks in advance on the show that, hey, the Wolves have this really kind of murderer's row of 7 games. They really just got to go at least 3 and 4 during those 7. And looking back at it, what did the Wolves do? They went exactly 3 and 4. Now, obviously, they played the Bucks with no Giannis, but the Nuggets win was a nice win. The Mavs win was a nice win. And 3 and 4 in that stretch of 7. I said 3 and 4 or 4 and 3 would be more than acceptable. 3 and 4, you know, and competitive in most of the games, too. It's not like they were ever really completely blown out of the water. There were a couple, you know, the Boston game obviously closed in rough fashion. The Suns game was disappointing because they easily could have won. And the first Mavericks game was the same way, too. The Raptors game, I guess, was probably the worst of the lot. But still, 3 and 4 during that stretch. ESPN just drops them the one spot from 12 to 13. Still ahead of, like, Brooklyn, for instance, which is a nice place to be. The Athletic, Zach Harper has been hard on the Timberwolves all season. He consistently has had them ranked lower than every other site. He had the Wolves 13th last week. He now has them 14th. And he talks about it basically in his write-up about how it was a successful season for the Wolves no matter what happens. Basically, at this point, they should just kind of worry about getting healthy for the play-in, basically, and not, you know, break their backs trying to get to number 6 because it's unlikely. He does have them a spot behind the Atlanta Hawks, who a lot of rankings have behind the Timberwolves. He's got the Nets all the way up at 11, down from 8, so he thinks a lot more highly of the Nets than, say, ESPN does. The Wolves are ahead of Utah on this list. He's got Utah one spot below the Clippers at 16, interestingly enough. So, anyway, continuously, The Athletic has the Wolves ranked lower than all these other sites. My favorite power ranking site, and not just because they're more bullish on the Timberwolves than other sites, but it doesn't hurt, is John Schumann at NBA.com. Fantastic rankings, has the Wolves at 11, down one spot from 10 last week. He has his write-up separated into the case for the Wolves and the case against the Wolves. He says the case for the Wolves, their starting lineup has outscored its opponents by 12.8 points per possession, which I believe is still second out of all 5-man lineups that played significant minutes this year in terms of net rating. He says they've got the league's number one offense. They've been 25-12 since mid-January. And then he says the case against is struggling to defend against good teams, fouls, rebounding being their biggest issues, which if you watch the Wolves or if you listen to this podcast or both, talk a lot on the show about the issues rebounding and also fouling. We've known all season. We've known that since November when we first said, remember I said back around Thanksgiving, this defense has a weird profile. The Timberwolves foul a ton. They don't rebound, but they also turn opponents over a bunch. They block a lot of shots. Something here isn't sustainable. I was wrong. I was right in that it's unique. I was wrong in that it wasn't sustainable because the top 10 defense wasn't sustainable because they were just fouling too much and rebounding too poorly on the defensive glass to sustain a top 10 defense. But they've kept playing in this exact same way, and it's now a middle-of-the-pack defense. It's pretty solidly middle-of-the-pack, you know, somewhere between 14th and 17th, depending on the metric, depending on the, you know, the time of week, depending on how they've played recently. So I was half right. I thought something would give there, but it hasn't. The Wolves have remained the league's best team in turning opponents over. They still block a lot of shots. It's just down a little over the course of the year. Defensive rebounding has improved this just a little bit. The fouling, if anything, has almost gotten worse, and the opponent free throw rate. That continues to be a thing, and when you play good teams that are smart and don't turn it over and know how to draw fouls, pretty easy to see why the Timberwolves struggle with some of these good teams that are well-coached, that have veteran players. It's one of the reasons the Clippers are going to be challenged in the playoffs or in the play-in potentially with Ty Lue as their coach. Paul George back on the floor, not going to be an easy out for the Wolves. Schumann also talks about Anthony Edwards settling too much late in the game and not getting to the rim enough, which has definitely been a thing we've talked about on the show as well. And that also that Towns needs to get to the line more down the stretch. But a great write-up, thoughtful, uses enough numbers, to be impactful. And, check out NBA.com if you want to just look at a power rankings, if you're debating somebody about, you know, where teams are ranked league-wide or whatever. That's the best place to go is NBA.com if you're going to do that. All right, let's close the show by previewing Wolves-Wizards on Tuesday. I haven't seen the Wizards in a hot minute, so we're going to talk all about that here next on the show. First, though, let's talk about our friends over at rockauto.com. This episode is brought to you by Rock Auto. With the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it's now impossible for your local chain auto parts store to stock all the parts you need. Why endure often pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning and wait while the person behind the counter orders the parts on their computer, choosing the only brand that their warehouse happens to carry? You have a computer with access to rockauto.com, both at home and in your pocket. You can save time and money when using Rock Auto. Why choose to spend 30, 50, even 100% more for the same parts from a chain store or a car dealership? Rock Auto is a family business serving do-it-yourselfers for over 20 years. Rock Auto prices are reliably low for every customer, and they have everything you could possibly need, from brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, to even new carpet. Go explore their easy-to-use website today to find the solution to your auto part needs. Go to rockauto.com right now. See all the parts available for your car or truck. Write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. All right, let's talk Wolves-Wizards. So the Timberwolves haven't played the Wizards since December 1st. So we're talking 4 months ago. That was the game that the Timberwolves lost late. They fell behind late to the Wizards. Karl-Anthony Towns got hurt down the stretch. I think it was a bruised tailbone. I believe it was Brooklyn. Then the very next night, I think, he missed that game against the Nets in Brooklyn after bruising his tailbone against the Wizards. But it was the only game he missed. And the Wolves lost by 8. They were only down 3 heading to the fourth. They were actually up at halftime in this one. And just had, at the time, the Wizards had a good start to the season, so it didn't feel like that bad of a loss. The Wizards obviously fell off dramatically as the season wore on. Then obviously the Bradley Beal injury, among other issues that they've had. You know, rookie head coach, all sorts of things not going necessarily the way that the Wizards... well, I don't know. The season's probably gone about how we expected it to go for them. It's just they got off to such a good start that this just felt like a complete, you know, like things went completely off the rails. Kyle Kuzma is also out for the game. So no Bradley Beal, of course, no Kyle Kuzma for the Wizards. The Wolves probably will not have Jaden McDaniels, who's listed as doubtful. And Malik Beasley's still on the injury report. It's probable with the ankle issue. The last time these teams played, Towns had 34-10. He shot just 11 of 25, though, from the floor. Did a lot of his damage from the free throw line. Only had one assist to 3 turnovers in that game before getting hurt. He only played 33 minutes. D'Angelo Russell had a miserable game. 3 of 18 shooting, 1 of 12 outside the arc for D'Lo in this game. I think this game basically set his whole season back in terms of three-point percentage. He had 9 assists, so 10 points, 9 assists, 5 rebounds in 39 minutes, a team high 39 minutes. And the Wolves actually forced Bradley Beal into a really tough night. For what it's worth, he only scored 19 points on 20 shots in this game, completely inefficient. It was really Montrezl Harrell off the bench, his energy that he brought in 21 minutes. He shot 11 of 12, scored 27 points for the Wizards off the bench. He was a huge reason. Again, the energy, his activity on the glass, his activity defensively, just kind of being a pest, which is what he can do, is what gave the Wolves a really rough time. Anthony Edwards had 25 points, made 4 threes, and also was getting to the line frequently in this game. The Wolves bench was very quiet outside of Naz Reid. This was before Jalen Noel was a major part of the rotation. He played just 6 minutes. Malik Beasley had a pretty pedestrian game too. And at the time, Josh Okogie was still part of the rotation. By the way, Patrick Beverley did not play in this game. Torrey Prince started. Pat Bev did not play due to injury, so he missed this game. The Wizards, of course, as of now, they're 12th in the East. They will not make the play-in. They're 34-44, so a very beatable team. Still, the profile of the Wizards is a team that the only reason they should really give the Wolves much trouble is that they get to the free throw line pretty frequently. Now, Bradley Beal was obviously a big part of that. I mean, he was the guy besides Kristaps Porzingis, of course, a relatively recent acquisition for them. But Beal got to the line so frequently, he's not available. So that isn't quite as big of a concern. But they are 10th in offensive free throw rate. The Wolves remain dead last in defensive free throw rate. The Wizards don't shoot a ton of threes, so the Wolves would be happy to allow them to shoot some threes. We haven't seen the Wolves play as much zone recently as they had, you know, going back a few weeks. I don't know. This feels like a time you could try and pull that out a little bit with a Bradley Beal less Wizards team. You know, why not try it? But anyway, the They're 30th in 3-point makes per game. They're 26th in 3-point percentage. They're 26th in 3-point rate in terms of their frequency of 3-point attempts. They're still 10th in free throw rate, though. They're bottom five in offensive rebound rate, so not a huge concern there on the glass. I mean, it's always a concern for the Wolves. And actually, the last time they played the Timberwolves were a minus 13 on the glass to the Wizards. The Wizards out-rebounded them 52-39. And outside of Karl-Anthony Towns, the Wolves only had one player that had more than five, or I'm sorry, Jared Vanderbilt had 12. So they had two guys with more than five rebounds. Vando had 12, Towns had 10. Nobody else had more than five for the Wolves in this game. So if the Wolves can keep the Wizards off the charity stripe a little bit in this game, can make Porzingis work, they should be all right. This is obviously a game they should win. I mentioned earlier, betonline.net has them at 11.5-point favorites. And that feels about right. That's about where it should be for a relatively healthy Minnesota team. So keep an eye on how the Wizards try to slow down Karl-Anthony Towns as well. He had his way against them earlier this year. And I would expect Towns to have a big game against a relatively diminutive Wizards front line. Now, Daniel Gafford had a good game against the Wolves. Last time around, he had 18-10. But generally speaking, this is a team that Karl-Anthony Towns should be able to dominate, provided he stays out of foul trouble. Again, the Wizards are good at getting themselves to the line. They've also played a little bit better of late. They just beat the Mavs by 30-plus points a couple nights ago, before losing by 30-plus to the Celtics the very next time out. But at any rate, how are they going to try and defend Karl-Anthony Towns? You know, what's Porzingis going to bring to the table in this game? No Kyle Kuzma again. Obviously, no Bradley Beal. Daniel Gafford comes off the bench for them now with Porzingis on the team, so he probably won't have quite the same level of game as he did last time around. But if Towns can stay out of foul trouble and the Wolves can generally stay out of foul trouble as a team, they should be all right. Okay, we'll break this one down after the game on Tuesday. We'll do the post-game pod. It'll post early on Wednesday, so be sure to tune into that. Thank you to those of you that do make Locked On Wolves your first listen each and every day. Of course, the show is free and available everywhere. That includes YouTube as well as all of your favorite audio platforms, Apple, Google, Spotify, and Odyssey, and beyond. Anywhere you listen to shows, you can find Locked On Wolves. You can also follow on Twitter, at Locked On T-Wolves, and also at BBeacon with two Bs, two Es, C-K-E-N. Lockdown Wolves, again, is part of the Lockdown Podcast Network. Remember, the Lockdown Network is your local experts on all the biggest stories. And one last reminder, Lockdown Now, obviously the best place to listen to get caught up on the previous night's action. Also, Lockdown NBA, consider that for your second listen. It's Lockdown Experts covering the biggest stories around the NBA every Monday through Friday in less than 30 minutes. It's free and available wherever you get podcasts. Also, a reminder, stay tuned later this week. Announcements coming related to post-game postcast live 10 to 12 minutes starting soon here on the Locked On feed on the upcoming new Locked On Minnesota YouTube channel. Stay tuned. It's going to be a ton of fun guests, all that stuff. Can't wait to roll that out. All right. Once again, I'm Ben Beacon. This is the Locked On Wolves podcast, and we'll catch you next time.